Shalom, brethren. May the Lord richly bless you wherever you are. This is Brother James Veremu from Zimbabwe. I want to give my apology for yesterday's daily devotion. I did not post yesterday's daily devotion. So I pray that the Lord will help us as from today, as we go on through this week, as it befalls my Lord to speak on this platform. I really cherish the grace which was bestowed upon us to have this time of togetherness, hearing from one another, endeavoring to bring us into that oneness and one faith, one hope, as we are all called in the same by one Lord and Savior and Father who is above us and in us all, that we may come to the unity of the faith. So may God bless you as we pray for this segment of today's daily devotion. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our heads in our hearts before you, Lord God, as we enter into this day that you have granted us. May you bless, Father, this day, and also this encouragement which you will bring to us through these humble lips to those scattered over this earth whom you have called to your own glory. We pray, Father God, that you bless the reading of your word, the speaking and the hearing of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We just want to turn to our Bibles as we read from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, from the first to the third verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We just want to base our thought this morning on God, or the Word of God, being the beginning and also the end. And that, as we see in this scripture, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So the beginning of everything that we can see and that we can hear or we can feel is in and by the Word, because in the beginning was the Word. This Word was with God, and it was God. The very expression, the very mind, the very intention of that great spirit of Elohim was expressed in this Logos, which is the Word. And verse 3 specifically states that all things were made by him. So what we see, what we hear, what we feel, was all made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So when we look at anything or we hear anything or we feel anything or we even do anything without it being the word, that thing is vanity. As far as God is concerned, that thing does not exist. So we want to look at this thought that that which is done must be done by the word. It must be God himself who does, who speaks, who hears, who thinks, who accomplishes anything that man can do. Because without God's intervention or without God being in anything, we cannot say that thing has been done. Because God disowns anything that is not his or his making. He disowns worship. He disowns life. He disowns works or whatever is done that is not him. So we just want to look at this. And we see that we are called to do or to speak things while we are here on this earth. But let's look at it in this perspective, that as the scripture says, without him was not anything made that was made. We just want to refer to a few scriptures as we bring this thought. We look in the book of Hebrews, that is chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we read verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here, the scripture shows us that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So our worshiping God or our being in God, it has its beginning in Jesus Christ, who was the Word made flesh. Which Word was in the beginning? Which we have seen that without that Word, nothing made was made. So Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is the author. So anything that has not its beginning in that Word is not of God. Because our salvation, our being, is here shown that it is authored by Jesus Christ, the author of our faith, the author of our salvation, the author of our worship, the author of our ministry. So whatever we may do is not done unless it is by God. Now, the thing is, the Word of God shows us what must be done. Now, there is that portion, or there is that part whereby we have to do something. Like it says in the scripture, come unto me. So we have to come to God. So when we just look at that, it seems like our coming to God is our initiative. It's our doing. Yes, in a way, we can look at it that way, that it is us who are coming. It is us who are doing. It is us who are praying. But when we go back to the scripture, which says he is the author. The author means the one who penned whatever was written. The story that was written, it was written by the author. He is the one who authors a book from beginning to end. We call him the author. So God is that in our everything that we must do. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 127, from verse 1, it reads, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh but in vain. We go to verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It says here, blessed is the man who has his quiver full of these arrows, who are children, where here the Bible says they are a gift from the Lord. Now we can see, it goes down to say, there is a man who has a quiver full of these arrows. He is blessed because his quiver is full of them. But then we look at it, it is said it is his children. Yet, primarily, no man has the ability in himself to have children. Yes, he was made a procreator with God, yet it is God who through him makes him or brings to being the children. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So you see, it is not God who comes to physically build the house, yet without him building it, it is in vain when somebody builds the building. So man is supposed to do something, but it takes God to be in that thing, whereby the credit goes to God, who has, through the man, done something. They labor in vain when they build a building without God being in it. And those who watch over a city to keep it, unless it is God who is keeping the city, though they are there watching, though they are there awake all night, it is in vain that they are doing that thing. In the eyes of God, that city has not been kept. That city has not been preserved. That city is just open to the attacks of the enemy. Yet, they are there, watchmen watching over it. A building, though they are there builders, building the building, yet it is in vain. It will not come to the completion. It will not come to accomplish the purpose why it is being built. People may look at it and say there is a building. People can appreciate it that a building has been built. When people are passing, they can see the watchmen in all their regalia, walking up and down, be it the walls or the streets or the housetops of the building in the city. And it may look like the building is protected. Yet, if it is not God who is there to do the thing, that thing is done in vain. As the scripture is said in the book of John, that without God, there is nothing that is made or was made. So we just want to look at it and see that though God has called us to do something, God has called us to worship, God has called us to pray, God has called us to preach, God has called us to teach, God has called us to lay foundations, for so is the ministry. They are the apostles that lay the foundations. They are the evangelists that comb the area to shed light. They are teachers there to sit down and teach the people. They are pastors to shepherd the flock. They are apostles, they are prophets to bring forth the word. But when we look at it, it says, it is God who put them there. So without God, in the continuation of that ministry, that thing is done and is in vain. So we are looking at it that when God calls us to do something, yes, it is God who tells us to do something. But God has got to take over in whatever we do. And in whatever it is, it has to be God who has to be working or doing that which he wants us to do. We may practically be doing it. You know, it's like when God wanted Abraham to be in the land of Canaan, it was Terah, his father, who thought it in himself that he must go to Canaan. That was a noble cause. That was in line with the purpose of God, for God to bring the people into that land of Canaan. Yet you can see that Terah went only as far as Haran and he stopped there. God did not allow him to accomplish that thing. It had to be God to bring the people into that land, as we shall see as we go down pursuing this thought. But we want to look at how God is the author, or how God does not even accept what we do unless and until God puts his power, puts his life into the thing, until it doesn't look like, or it doesn't show that it is this one or that one who has done it. For all glory must be to God. And anyone who wants to glory, as Paul says, he must glory in the Lord. For it is God who does anything or everything that is said or that is certified to have been done. In the first book of Corinthians, we have in chapter 3, we just want to read maybe from verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So you see, Apollos, Paul, Peter, and the rest of them, who are they? They are only ministers by whom the people of Corinth believed. So it was Paul, it was Peter, it was Apollos, who were ministers, ministering in this particular church. But who are they? They are only vessels. They are only ministers by whom these people believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So, you see, Paul ministers, Apollos ministers, Peter ministers, but as they minister, it is God who gives. To those who are hearing what Paul is saying, what Peter is saying, what Apollos is teaching, all these ministers, as they teach, it is God who has to bring to light, who has to bring to the true understanding the purpose of the preaching. For we see again where Paul rebukes the church. They came to a point whereby they said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, I am of Christ. They divided themselves into these different groups or categories, into different understanding of what they had, what the ministers were bringing forth. Yet when we go back to chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So it all goes back to God doing the thing. It is by God that the word was preached, was taught to the people. Yet it is by God, when the ministers have ministers, it is the Lord who gave to every man. So who is Apollos? Paul says Apollos is the one who watered what Paul had planted, but God gave the increase. So with Paul planting, Apollos watering, without God bringing the increase, then all the work of Paul, Apollos, Peter, and the rest of them would have been in vain. Unless the Lord built their house, the builders, though they are building, though they are mixing a brick and mortar, though they have to plumb it to make the building straight, the watchman cannot even slumber, cannot even doze, but they are walking the streets, They are walking upon the walls. They are walking on the rooftops. Unless it is God who is doing it. Though they are actually walking, watching, and staying awake, nothing has been made. The security of the city is open to attack because God has not done it. So we want to look at this thought that whatever man does, or man can start to do something like Terah started to do something, but in a way we'll say God never allowed him to accomplish that. Because had Terah done it, it would have been himself doing it. Though he was doing something that was in line with the thought of God. So God has not left it entirely to the individual to do what his word said must be done. Because it must be the word that says it. It must be the word that commands. It must be the word that does, that begins, and that finishes that work which the word has instructed to be done. So we just want to take our thoughts in our mind upon this to the end that we may see in ourselves who is doing whatever we are doing, or whatever is happening, or whatever is going forth in our life, in our ministry, in our worshiping God. Who actually is doing it? Is it us? Is it me who is doing that which God said must be done? Or is it God who is doing it in me? So we'll look into that by the grace of God as we maybe go step by step, as we take examples of individuals whom God called to do things for him. May God bless you as we ponder on this thought in this day that God has given us. Who is working in me? Who is doing what I am doing? What the works that are being done in my life, who is credited? Who is the author? Who is doing it? Is it I who am doing what I am doing? Or is it God who is doing it? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to commit these words. Father God, as we have seen by your word, that it is by the word that you have done what you have done. Without the word doing, whatever is done is not done, or it has been done in vain. May you bless us, Father, even in this day, that, Lord, we may submit to your calling and your doing in our life, that whatever we do, that whatever is going through our life, it may be not us. Like Paul said, I no longer live, but it is Christ who is living in me. We thank you, Lord, as we commit this day into your hand, Father, even for your own glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.